sea.
Amen, amen, and good evening to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. How you doing? Good, good. That sound not too bad. Not too bad on a Sunday night. Hopefully you had a nap. Yeah, some of you sound like you had a good nap. Because I hope you're not planning on sleeping on me tonight. You didn't come this far to sleep tonight. God is good. Every day is a good day with the Lord. Thank you, Brother Johnson, Brother Barry, for those uplifting songs. Brother Johnson for reading the scripture. Brother A.W. Willis for a heartfelt prayer tonight. God is good. Let's dive right in tonight. Dive right in. May I categorize you? That was the lesson title this morning, and I know it sounds a little strange. I don't mean to stereotype anyone. Stereotype is to label a group of people by the actions of a few, or one or two, and so we definitely don't want to do that, but the Bible does categorize all people. Jesus said when he was on this earth, I came to seek and save those which are lost. So the Bible characterizes everybody in the world as either saved or lost. And I know it's a Sunday night, and I know that the saints, the soldiers, come on Sunday night. And I would imagine that probably almost everyone in here considers themselves saved. But I would also imagine not everybody is saved. And every now and then, if you're saved, you just need to check yourself every now and then to make sure you're still saved. And if you're not saved, I hope your heart, I know your heart is not so hard that you won't hear the word because you are here tonight. And so we thank you for being in here. We stated some goals for the year of 2019. We set as a theme the word what?
Consecrated.
Consecrated. It's on your bulletin. It's on the marquee. It's on our calendars. It's on our T-shirts. Amen. And the definition is also on the back of the T-shirt. So you need to make sure you know and understand the definition of consecrated. It means to set apart for a divine purpose, not an earthly, not a worldly purpose. And so that distinguishes the word from other words. And we're talking about a spiritual goal. We've set some goals for the congregation as a congregation. We know that you have goals that you set for yourselves personally. Even you have goals for your families, and that is wonderful and it is great. But we wanted to challenge the whole body. One of the goals is we want to try to be responsible for saving at least 100 souls in 2019. That's a noble, that's a big goal. This past year, we added 65 new souls, baptized souls. We 55 membership here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. So 100 is a lofty goal. Question, can we do it? I say we because if it happens, it's going to be because of all of us working together. How are we going to do it, Brother Gary? One of the things we're going to do is we're going to start in our own homes. We're going to live lives so our children, so our spouses, if our spouses are not members, people that we have quality relationships with, our cousins, our kinfolks, our brothers, our sisters, they will want to know what we have. And so we're going to start because those are the individuals that we have the most influence over. This morning we baptized a son of one of our members, and we baptized a sister of one of our members. Now they already had a relationship with them, but they also share the love of Jesus Christ with those that they. That's our fertile ground. That's folk will at least give us an ear. And so we're going to start in our homes. Not only are we going to start in our homes. We're going to open our mouths, and we're going to build relationships with other folks that we know. Build relationships. We were not dogmatic. We're not telling folks they're going to hell. We're going to love on people. Amen. Yeah, we're going to speak to folks. We're going to help them in times of need. In time when crisis happens in anybody's life, that is a masterful, that is a wonderful opportunity to minister to them and show them the love of Christ. So some of us are going to come out of our shell. Some of us are quiet, but we're not that quiet. We talk around somebody. We open our mouths to somebody. And we're saying that we're going to build a relationship. We're going to speak to folks in the elevators. We're going to speak to folk on our job. You're going to surprise some people that don't, you know, but you don't know that well. You're going to surprise and do something good. you're going to do a good work for them in 2019. Then we're going to increase our own Bible knowledge. We're going to come to Bible class more in 2019. We're going to read our Bibles more in 2000. We're going to learn more than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to know that we're going to know Zechariah and Malachi in the Old Testament. And so we're going to study. We're going to come more on Wednesday. I think we have more tonight here on Sunday nights. Praise the Lord. We've challenged the congregation with some consecrated goals. We passed out calendars in the back. If you don't have a calendar, there should be some in the lobby. And we want you to take that calendar and look on the calendar at all the activities. We know nobody can come to everything, but we set aside some consecrated activities that we want the church to be involved in. That means that you have to literally, purposely, in your mind, set apart some time that's God's time. And you put it on your calendar, and that's what we're going to do in 2019. Then we set some material goals that we want to expand the kingdom, not for our glory, not for our comfort, so this kingdom of God here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ can spread. We want to build a two-story garage, a parking area, so we're not scrambling for parking all the time. We have as a goal to build a better family life center. And those are material goals, all the goals we've set for 2019. But our primary goal, number one on the list, is to share the gospel with more people. Because we can have a nice seats, we can have lights and everything, but if we lose our soul, it will not be worth it. And so this morning we focused on what, asking the question, what category are you? Are you saved or are you lost? And we're doing this for two reasons: for those who are lost, but for those who are saved, to be better equipped to minister to folks who are lost. This morning we talked about the unchurched, because in the lost category, there are different categories in the lost category. There are folk who've never been exposed to church or religion, or they don't have they didn't grow up, their parents bringing them to church and talking about the Bible. They just didn't have that exposure. We asked those in the first service to raise their hands, and several had never been exposed to the Lord's church or knew much about Jesus. And we talked about this morning, and in our message, in our approach to the unchurched, church is different than somebody that's already quote unquote religious. And we have to first approach them with love and compassion. Everybody say love and compassion. Love. We got to be loving people, more loving people, kind people, people who have different faiths, people who have different backgrounds than us. Just because they're different, we still need to be loving to them. And we started with Jesus. We started because, see, some folks who haven't been, they heard about Jesus. They see people wear crosses, but they don't know who Jesus is. And we have to let people know the condition that they are in. In other words, if somebody don't know they lost, why they want to be saved? And we have to set the stage that everybody needs the Lord. I don't care who you are. And tonight, because the soldiers are here tonight, I want to focus on, this is another category of those who are lost, and it's the procrastinators. You see, the procrastinators, this is a tough category. See, the procrastinators can be those that's already saved. And the procrastinators can be those who are shown up lost without the love of Jesus Christ. But the procrastinators, if I was to define the term, it means to delay or postpone something. Postpone an action. To put off doing something. Anybody, don't raise your hand now. Is anybody in here tonight a procrastinator? Lord, I have to say, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, please help me, Lord. I'm going to tell you, I got to admit, I hope because I admit a few things about me, you don't look down too bad at me. Okay, you sure be saying you got a lot of problems. Well, I'm just telling the truth, amen. And you know what, listen, if you're saved, you know what, you just a saved sinner anyway. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. That's why I don't see why nobody would deny obeying Christ. Because it's our only chance. Because we come to, we sing a song, Just As I Am. Lord, I know, boy, I'm guilty of procrastinating. You know, let me just give you one secular thing I procrastinate about. I got a good brother in the Lord's church that he's my air conditioned man. And he does. Boy, he takes care of my air conditioning. My wife and my mother-in-law just love him to death. They called me a couple last week and say, Daddy, you need to call him. You need to call him, baby. You need to call him. It's cold in this house. It was chilly and the heater wasn't working properly. And for 3 days, they said it, and then it was, took me 3 days to call them. And my wife said, "Did you call?" I said, "I'm fixing to call him." But I was hoping that it would heat up, you know. I was hoping that on it, it would just heat up on its own, you know. You know how those men think, you know. But the wives, they ain't going to let it go, so you might well go on and do it. So I texted him, and he said, "I can get over there." And he got over there. And you know what? You know what? I procrastinate something about calling for help when I need help. I procrastinate about that. I try to figure it out myself, and knowing I ain't doing nothing, I'm figuring it out sitting in my desk. So I wonder what's wrong, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm picked up on nothing to do nothing. But one thing he always tell me, he said, Now, Gary, he said, "You got to change the filters on this thing." Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, "Gary," he said, "you got to change the filter." He said, every time he come to the house, he checked that. He said, "When last time you changed the filters?" I say, I think it was, and then he opened up the thing, and Lord, I'm talking about, I'm ashamed to say, the filter's supposed to be white. Mine black. "Brother Gary, you that sorry?" "Don't worry about me." Yeah, you need to take care of your own business. Don't worry about what's going on in the Smith house. I'm just telling you mine. Because you know you procrastinate on some things, don't you? But you know what get me? I know that's what I'm supposed to do. I know it. He tells me. He says, "Now, about every 45, every 3 months, this your house." Because see, we have highlight bills in there. And I mean, you got a whole lot of activity going on. He said, now, Gary, I'm telling you, you need to change this. He said, "I tell you, about every 3 months." I said, "Okay, I got you. I got it. I'm going to do it." Lo and behold, either in the wintertime or summertime, it started getting hot. "Why is it so hot in here?" I said, "Something wrong with that AC, or something wrong with it." Every time, know what he does? Just about every time. This is the God on. You know what he does? Just about every time he come out, he'll take the water hose or something, and he'll spray the air conditioner, spray the condenser, whatever it is. He'll spray around in there, and he go in every room. And sometimes I'm there, and sometimes I'm not. And I say, "So he get through?" He say, I changed the filters. And he say, Gary. And sometimes he say, "Brother Gary," and you know he don't. I bet in his mind he say, "Brother Gary is a lazy, sorry something," but he better not be telling y'all that. And I procrastinate. I did it this time, but you know what I did? Right before he came, I knew. I changed the filters. And I texted him, I said, and he told me who this guy, I texted him, I said, "I changed the filters." He said, "Okay, great." And then he came there and stayed there about 5 minutes. And sprayed it out a little bit. And the house is beautiful. Why did you say all of that, Brother Gary? Some of us here right now, we've been procrastinating. I know family members here, right? I know family members whose children have been coming to Bible class and who've been coming to the Lord's house and sit here under the feet of invitation after invitation. And they are old enough. They understand right from wrong. And sometimes we procrastinate as if we just don't want to be bothered. Or as if the Lord, we got time. I want to read a passage, and I'm going to give you this lesson tonight. In Acts chapter 26, verse 24. Listen to this. Acts 26, 24. Brother Johnson read part of it. I'm going to read a little bit more of it. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul was in prison. And he was in prison for doing the Lord's work. And he'd been given an honest defense, and now he's before the governor, he's before the king in their courts and headlining to speak, and Paul is laying it on him. He is not holding back. He said, "This is my opportunity to tell the truth to them, and I'm giving it all to them." And listen what the Bible says, Paul. He said, "Thou art beside," this was Festus said, "you're beside yourself." I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. I believe I am. No, or is this a King James? Much learning doesn't make ye mad. That's what Festus says. Paul was a brilliant man who God selected to carry out his charge. And verse 25, but he said, and Paul said this, but Paul said, I'm not mad. And see, one thing about it, we get to judge whether or not something is truth or whether it's falsehood. We get to, all of us, some people get the Bible, you have different people understand the Bible like they won't understand. I get, that is true. But I this personally, when I sit down with a person in a Bible study and we read the Bible together or they read it, I rarely get somebody to disagree with what the Bible is really saying. And Festus, he heard that message Paul gave, and he said, Paul said, you done lost your mind. And Paul comes back to him. He says, I'm not mad. No, listen to what else he said. He says, I'm not mad, most noble. He was respectful, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He said, in this word, sober meaning healthy words, the words of truth. He says, I'm speaking the truth. And it's like he said it, but he almost says something else that he says to King Agrippa. He says, I'm not mad. It's not like he's insinuating, and you know I'm not crazy. And so sometimes you don't have to say that out loud when you're talking to someone or teaching what someone, and you say, but in their minds, a person knows when they hear the truth. It's just whether or not they're going to respond to it. Now, sometimes circumstance don't allow a person to respond to the truth. And some of them, we don't need to be impatient. And we don't need to say when we teach somebody something, I know you know it. I know it makes sense. You know it. You just act like you don't know. Stop saying that. Because you know what? Some of us used to be hard-headed. Some of us, our circumstance didn't allow us to obey what we knew was in the Word of God. And so we have to be patient with folks. Did anybody twist your arm for you to come to the faith? Nobody twisted your arm. What we need to pray for people is patience. What we need to pray is that God will have mercy on a person to give them enough time like he gave us enough time. Listen to what else it says, verse 26. He says this, for the king, he's speaking of King Agrippa, the king knoweth. Now, Paul, you read it on your own terms, where Paul had this wonderful lesson that he gave. He said, the king know that I'm telling the truth. And see, and he gave a whole history lesson of all the things that happened even throughout the Jews. And he says, the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Verse 27, King Agrippa. King Agrippa, he directed it straight to King Agrippa, not Festus, the governor. He's King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? But you see, Paul gave him, I don't have time to go through it. He gave him a history lesson, not of his own opinion. He gave a history lesson of the masterful message of the Old Testament, how God in all of his wisdom laid out a master plan to get us from the prophets now to Jesus. And he says, you know, King Agrippa, everything I'm telling you is the truth. You know it because you have access to all of this knowledge. And then he says to him some striking words. He says, I know that thou believest. Lord, have mercy. Now, this is tough now. This is tough. He says, you king. And I know, and you know, he didn't say all the words that I'm putting in here. He said, but you can just hear it in his language. He said, you the king. You got access to all of this information. And I've taken my time and to share with you line for lot, fact, line for line, fact for fact. He says, I know you believe Agrippa, because you read the rest part of that chapter. You see that he called back for Paul to come back. Paul had talked to him and he said, I want to listen to him again. Why? Because he knew what he was telling him was right. See, listen, there is a difference between truth and falsehood. And this falsehood, sometimes it's not all false or it's not all error, but there is a difference. And God wants us, the Bible says God is spirit in John 4:24. And they that worship him, notice this, must worship him. I'm going to think about worshiping God. No, you can't. God, we must worship him in spirit with the right mindset, with the right attitude, but we have to do it God's way. But in truth, in verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, this is what Agrippa said. He said, almost thou persuadest me. Those are some dangerous words when it comes to God. And see, maybe it was because of Paul's status. You got, you know, Paul, you a prisoner. And you think you're going to tell the king. You're going to tell the king what to do. No, Paul, it don't work like that. No. And he said, almost. And I lay that on your hearts tonight. If you are here and you've been putting off obeying the gospel, if you've been putting off doing what you know is right, what you know is the truth, oh, Lord have mercy, don't put it off too long. Yeah, don't put it off too long. If you're over, maybe I shouldn't say age, but you know now, if you're in here right now and you are 40 years old and above, raise your hand. Raise your hand. 40. I know some of you sisters don't want. We know you're 40. Amen. Put your hand down. If you're 40 and above, you know you have less living to do than when you was below. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Well, I'm not really sorry. My mindset, you hear me say all the time now, my mindset about time is changing every day. I'm serious. We at the Fieldwater Church Choir, we have funerals every week. Every now and then we might not have a Saturday funeral. I mean, we're in the elder's office and I say, thank the Lord we don't have a, and they'll say, be quiet, the phone will ring. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you know, at the same time, we ought to live with a sense of urgency. You know what? I want all my children to know and love the Lord. And I know what? I know everybody in here wants the same for them. Know him the way that God wants us to know him, that we obey the truth. And we want to do it God's way, according to God's way. And so I'm not going to be able to deliver. I told you in the month of January, I'm going to deliver evangelistical sermons about people's souls. I know, Brother Gary, you need to teach us how we ought to have better marriages and how we can parent better and how we can be better employees on the job. The Bible does instruct us on that. But first of all, you need to make sure your soul is saved. Yeah, because you can be poor and still go to heaven. You can have a crazy husband and still make it to heaven. Amen, somebody. Some of your children can be on drugs and you're going to cry and you're going to sob for them, but you can still make it heaven your home. And our soul is what's most important. And we need to secure our souls so we can be better servants for God. Let me read the rest of this. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Listen, that's what we want to be, is a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. I'm going to tell you something. I respect the discipline of many faiths. I do. That's some folks that put us to shame in how many of them testify about their beliefs. You know what I'm talking about. You have Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your house all the time. And many of them seem like they're more committed than we are as Christians. But you know what? They don't call themselves Christians. And according to the word of God, that is error. And in this pulpit, I preach it boldly. When I'm teaching, I preach it boldly. But when I have the opportunity to talk to a Jehovah's Witness, I need to share the truth with them in love so they can receive it. But you know what? I love them. I will talk to them. We can eat a meal together. But you still can't negate the fact that they are not saved according to the scriptures. So we as church, man, we got to learn how to talk to folk. Yeah, and though they may have some knowledge, the Bible says, the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, and that's what I want to be called. Verse 29, and Paul said this, I would to God that not only thou, not only you, King Agrippa, but also all that hear me. And I love this because Paul was having this Bible class with the king, with Festus, and with all the courts around. And he gets down to the end of it. He says, I would to God that not only you, King Agrippa, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bones. Boy, look here. It must have been quieter than a mouse in those courts. And the truth, sometimes it'll do that. Yeah, it'll do that. It will. The truth will make you squirm in your seat without moving, but your mind is staring. Is this really what the Bible is saying? Is this really what God is saying to me? And you do something with the truth. See, because once you hear the truth, you know, unless you obey it, it'll make you stay up at night. Sometimes it makes you angry. I hope, you know, that's the point. You know, the Bible says the devils believe, James 2:19, and tremble. And but you know why they tremble? Because they know the power of God. But the fact is that the devils don't obey God. And if you're here tonight and you've been procrastinating about the most important thing that you could ever do, you've been putting it off. We're going to pray for more time. Amen, church members. We're going to pray that God is merciful, but the water is ready. And we keep the water ready here. We do. Sometimes now, it's wintertime now. It's not that cold outside, but one thing we asked our brothers, look here, when you taking care of this water, it's a heater in the water. We said, look, make sure the water is warm so people won't have an excuse. I had one sister, it was wintertime and it was cold out there. She said, I need to get baptized today. Well, the Bible says the day you hear is hard. Harden not your heart, because you know how the devil works. You get, oh man, that was a good sermon. That was an interesting sermon. And you don't get baptized, you leave out here, it's gone. You don't remember nothing. And the devil makes sure you don't remember. And sister say, well, I say to sister, the water, we got a heater in the water. And she said, really? And she said, well, I want to get baptized. And I was so ashamed. Because when we came back here to baptize, I think it was on them. I can't remember what day it was on. We came back in to baptize her, and the heater wasn't working. And she put her foot in that water, and it was almost over. She said, oh, it's cold. I said, oh, my. I started to get in there with her. I wasn't baptizing her. And we had to talk her through getting baptized. And I say all of that because brothers that's in charge of the heater, is the water ready tonight? I heard Brother Basie say amen back there. The water is ready. And we do baptize in this Church of Christ. We do baptize on Sunday nights, don't we? If you're in here right now and you were baptized on a Sunday evening or any other day except Sunday, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want the church to see this. Look around. See, so what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, we believe that baptism completes your obedience to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God. We don't believe that you are saved until, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, notice this, for the remission of your sins. See, your sins are not forgiven until after you get in that water. That's why we believe it is essential for your salvation. Amen, somebody. And if you want to be baptized tonight, we'll baptize you tonight without a doubt in a heartbeat, unless Jesus calls us home to glory before that time. That's why we shouldn't procrastinate. Somebody come to Jesus tonight and be saved tonight. If you're here and you have a prayer request, you can come tonight. If you're here that you need to get something right with God, you can come as we stand and sing the song.
There's a fountain, free tears for you and